are in Luke chapter 13 tonight. Luke 13. We'll be picking up in verse 10. We left off there last week. We study tonight one of Jesus' healings. Again, Luke 13, verse 10. Last week, we talked about, and Jesus actually gave a parable there in verses 6 through 9, the parable of the fig tree, and how it is important for us to realize that God wants our lives to be fruitful. God wants our lives to produce righteousness and holiness in the things that we do on a day-to-day basis. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I think, or I remember when I was first saved, you know, there was my Christian life, and then there was my work life or everything else life. In the beginning, it was two different things. As I was learning and as I was growing in the ways of the Lord, it was always feeling like I had to achieve or accomplish or get to this place where God could be in every area of my life. And that's something I think maybe all of us can deal with and struggle with for a season. But God wants to, as we talk about on Thursday nights with the men, God wants to invade our every area of our lives, our very being, even our minds, our thoughts, our words, our conversations, the intents of our heart. God wants to invade us. And through this next healing, we're going to see certainly the power of Christ, power of Jesus, but also the compassion. The willingness of God to heal us. The willingness of God to see our very condition and very place in life and know exactly what we need. And maybe you're here tonight and you're going through a season, you're going through a tough time, or you're dealing with something with the Lord, seeking His face, looking for answers. You know, sometimes we just got to rest on the fact that Jesus knows. Jesus knows what's going on. And though we may not hear the answer, may we don't know where the direction is or where our steps need to go, we need to just rest on the knowledge that He knows what it is. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows the struggles, the difficulties, the pains. And that, I don't know about you, but that brings rest to me, to trust in Jesus. So, verse 10, let's go ahead and read right through verse 17. Now He, being Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And He laid His hand on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And He said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day." And the Lord answered him and said, "Hypocrite! Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" And when He had said these things, all His adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by Him. It's the only area of the Bible you will find this story. Luke gives it to us and shares it with us in good doctor order. But I kind of, when I was reading this and studying this, I found five different people or characters within this story. Number one is Jesus, of course. Number two, the woman who's bound with this infirmity. Number three, the ruler. And then there at the end, in verse 17, His adversaries, and then the general crowd. And I think as we will study this little section, I think we can identify with each and every one of them. Every single one that we can identify at some point in our lives, or maybe in the point of our lives we are tonight, that, wow, I can identify with that. Yeah, I'm like that. And so as we dig through this, think of those things. See who you identify with most here tonight. Verse 10, Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. That's a very typical thing Jesus would do. Now, wouldn't it be nice to sit in a service where Jesus taught? Think about that for a minute. The Son of God, God in very essence, speaking the Word of God. Wow, how powerful. How impactful it must be to just sit at Jesus' feet and just hear him speak. And we've seen it throughout other Gospels, how amazed they were. Even as a young lad, remember teaching, you know, there in the scribes and the Pharisees speaking the things of God, and they were amazed at how much he knew. Little did they know it was very God they were speaking with. But to think and sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from him. And guys, we can do that, can't we? We can just sit in a park bench with our Bibles and listen to the very words of God and be taught by him. You have the Holy Spirit in you. If you're a believer of Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you who can show you and instruct you in the ways of the Scriptures. You don't need commentaries. You don't need Bible scholars. You don't need to go to Bible college. You just need the Word of God in your hand and let the Spirit of God speak it to you. How many of us have read Scripture and go, I don't understand that? And yet take that time to say, Holy Spirit, show me. And then he reveals it. Maybe not instantly, but maybe later on in life. But to be here and sitting in the synagogue and hearing Jesus speak. Now, most of you probably know in these days it was basically very typical in those days on the Sabbath that you'd end up at the synagogue and different people would open up the scrolls, read the Scriptures, and expound on the Scriptures. So it's not uncommon that Jesus would do this or anybody else would do this. But notice who we have. Our second character is this woman who had a spirit of infirmity. Now, this is a difficult area. When we look at the original language, it's very medical type terminology, certainly coming from Dr. Luke. So to really understand completely what's going on here is a little bit difficult. But in the original language, it implies that she felt unable to straighten herself up, almost as though there was a spirit that was holding her or depressing her or discouraging her from this position that she was in. Now, I tried to find a picture because I think it would have spoke volumes. But to think of this woman completely bent over in half, not being able to stand up, and having to go through life looking up, trying to go through her life, communicate with people. Now just get that picture in your mind and think of how easily and how dramatically she would have stuck out in every crowd. Right? But Jesus, speaking the word, teaching there in the synagogue, sees her. Now, when Jesus sees you, he really sees you, doesn't he? He sees more than the physical. This wasn't just Jesus noticing someone bent over. He was seeing into this woman's very soul, the condition of her heart. Physical condition, certainly very scary. I mean, Pastor Chuck, I was listening to some teaching that there's people in the Middle East that are in these types of condition. And it's a very difficult and very painful thing to witness and view. But to think of this woman there in the synagogue makes me begin to think, because we don't have a lot of details here in the Scriptures, do we? It's kind of cut and dry. But just to try to paint the picture and to think, for 18 years she's in this condition, and on the Sabbath she comes to the synagogue. Why? I got to ask myself, why would she be? We don't have the answers, but I think it's important that we ask these questions. Why was she coming? Was it tradition? Was she out of compulsion? Was it she wanted to hear the teachings? Was it something that drew her? Now, she's in this condition for 18 years. We don't know if this was the first time she came to synagogue or she's been coming her whole life. But to wonder if somebody had an excuse why not to go to church, I think this woman might have had a few. Right? Let's just assume for a minute that she's been a faithful Jewish woman following the traditions of coming to the Sabbath, coming on the Sabbath to the temple and listening. Excuse me, the synagogue, and listening to the teachings. for 18 years in the same condition, her life never changing, nothing physically happening in her life. What would motivate her to go, you know? That would be totally different, wouldn't it? If God had spoke to her the night before, go to the synagogue, my son's going to be teaching, and he will heal you. I'm thinking she's sleeping outside the gate of the synagogue, waiting to get healed, right? Think of that in your own life. What motivates you? What draws you to come to a place to hear the word of God? What is that motivation? Are you looking to get something from God? And I think, rightly so, we should. We should always be expecting God's word to give us something. Encouragement, strength, faith, motivation. What's that? Peace, absolutely. But what does it also bring? Correction, rebuke. You know, and I'm a little weird. I like to be rebuked by the Lord. I like to be corrected by God because that shows me, first of all, I'm not perfect. Sorry. Second of all, it shows me that God is still at work in my life, that I'm willing to say, show me the condition of my heart. Show me the condition of where I'm at. Because I don't want to be a ruler of a synagogue. I don't want to be someone that says, oh no, that's not the time for God to work in your life. No, no, no. This is not right. That's not the way we do things. See, I don't ever want to put limitations on God. God can put limitations on me, but I don't limit him. I want to be that faithful follower of Christ that says God can do it when he wants, whenever he wants. It doesn't have to be a setting where we're going to do some worship, we're going to study the word, afterward we're going to pray and fellowship together, let's see what God does. God may do it when you get in the car and start driving home. He might all of a sudden put something on your heart, or all of a sudden bring you that peace that you were seeking. God can do it when he wants to. And I think as Christians we need to be careful that we don't put God in a box and say, well, I can only be blessed when I've done my devotion. I can only be blessed when I'm praying enough. No, no, God can bless you whenever he wants to. This woman never asked to be healed, that we know of, again. Never showed that her faith in Jesus was there. Didn't say, I believe you can do it. Many, many, many of Jesus' miracles upon healing people, what was it he would say at the end? Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you whole. He saw this woman. No doubt, I bet he saw her faith. No doubt he saw her faith. I think Jesus, yes, I do believe, I can't say it for sure, but I think Jesus loved to heal on the Sabbath. It's, oh, good, a Sabbath. This will stir the pot a bit. This will get people a little upset. I like this. But to really, truly see this woman's heart and say, 18 years you've been going through this. God knew, right? God knew. God knows how long you've been struggling. God knows how long you've been holding on to that thing that he wants you to let go, or how long you've been struggling with certain sin in your life, as we talked about last week. Is there sin in your life that you need to give over to God and let him heal you from that? Tonight, Jesus just might want to heal you. And notice, you don't even have to ask for it. He might just want to do it. And that's the beauty, my friends. That's the beauty of the God that we serve, that we don't even, every time, I'm saying God does it differently all the time. Sometimes he wants you to come to him and say, forgive me, Lord, and he will. But other times, he's just going to do it because he loves you that much. I believe the compassion and the passion for this woman is what motivated Christ to heal her. As he probably saw the condition of her heart, and then he saw all the hearts around this woman, either ridiculing, making fun, or avoiding. I mean, I bet her own family members, you know, didn't treat her well. That's what I love about Christ. He has that compassion. He has that heart. Jesus saw her. She came, no doubt, to worship God. She came, no doubt, to come worship God. And if we would have those hearts, if we would have the heart to come, I'm going to come to church to worship God. I'm going to come to church for no other reason. Because I know there's churches filled with people. What are they going to do for me? Am I going to feel better when I leave? But do you come to just worship him? That's what's the difference between having a relationship, isn't it? That you want to please God, that you want to honor him. Some other thoughts. Sometimes Jesus will heal us even despite of our own condition, even despite of our own place. He just wants to wow us. He just wants to show you his love for you, his infinite love for you. Jesus sees you in your current condition and he sees your every need. Nothing escapes his attention. Think about that for a minute. Nothing he misses in your life. He sees it all and he wants to work. He said to this woman in verse 12, as he called her to himself, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." We see later in the scriptures that it was the enemy that bound her there in verse 16. There was a spirit of infirmity. Satan had done this thing to her, and Jesus says, "You are loosed from your infirmity." Which I believe there's two things going on here. It's just my own personal opinion, but in verse 12, he speaks to her, "Your infirmity, you're loosed from your infirmity. You're loosed from that thing that is holding you back from," because if you notice, at the end of verse 11, it says, "and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up." So there was something that was holding. Maybe there was doubt. Maybe she'd been in that condition for so long, she was just remaining in that condition. She could not in her own strength raise her up because for some reason the enemy was holding her down. And so Jesus says with a word, "You're loosed from that. No longer does the enemy have a bond or a hold upon your life." You know, this is, if you will, Deliverance Ministry 101. Because the enemy wants to keep you in bondage. The enemy wants to destroy you. The enemy wants to discourage you. And so the enemy will do things upon your life, not in your heart, but upon your life to hold you back. Whether it's doubt, whether it's fear, anxiety, untrust. You know, anything that's happened in your past, you think, "Oh, if I go down there, then that's going to happen because that was my past experience." The enemy's going to do those things and hold you. "I can't do that. I can't do what God has told me he's designed me to do because this happened in my past." And sometimes we just need to listen to Jesus go, "You're loosed from that infirmity. You're loosed from that doubt. You're loosed from that lie that the enemy has spoken to you." My friends, don't listen to the dark voices. Don't listen to the voices in your past that say you'll never be anything. How could you be a Christian? Why would you do that? Why would you make that choice? Why would you want to read your Bible? Those stories, why would you trust in that? Don't listen to those. Know in your heart who Jesus is. And know in your heart that Jesus wants to loose you from any of those bondages, from any of those things that hold you back. But not only did he speak that to her, but then in verse 13, "and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight." So to me, the spiritual healing happened with his word. The physical healing came with the touch. That's the way I see it. I see two things happening there. Because the enemy had discouraged this woman for so long, she believed it. And with the word, he healed her. Think about the power of the word of God. The power that's in the words of God. In fact, I'm probably getting ahead of myself here. Yes, I am. But think about the power of the word of God. How just speaking it. You know, it's always good to remind ourselves how God created the earth and the heavens. What did he do? Spoke it. Yeah. He didn't get out cranes and bulldozers and, you know, "Okay, move all this mass over here. Let's make a ball. Let's get it spinning." He just said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So don't ever forget the power that's in God's word. And you might be here tonight, there's a favorite scripture that you hold dear. You just keep holding on to it. And let that word speak to your heart. Let that word be power in your spirit. You know? What was the scripture we talked about on Sunday? It's kind of there. I can't bring it back for some reason. I'm going to go look for it. Hold on one second. Where is it? Come on. I think it's verse 6. Yes, verse 6. "Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus." Well, there's a verse to hold on to. Philippians, thank you. Philippians 1:6. "He that began that good work." Those are the scriptures that encourage us. Philippians 1:6, yeah. Those are the scriptures that remind us of the goodness of God and the power of God. That he never fails. That he never gives up. He laid his hand upon her. In fact, it says in Leviticus 26:13, if you're taking notes, it says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright. As Christians, we can walk with boldness. We can put our shoulders back. We have the confidence of the direction God has taken us. Now, we may not know what the destination is, but we know that God's told us to go in this direction. And we need to have that confidence and that uprightness. That's what this woman finally got after 18 years. Think of it. I would love to see her face, wouldn't you? Oh, the joy that must have been there. Well, we see it at the end of verse 13. After she was straightened, she glorified God. Man, she probably just broke out in a worship song, you know? I mean, we got to remember, in these synagogues, there wasn't a worship band. But she just probably just started praising her Lord, praising God, thanking Jesus, no doubt thanking Jesus, glorifying. And that's really the outcome of every work of God in your life. When he looses you from something, when he straightens out something in your life, glorify him. Glorify him. Don't be one of those lepers that just goes on, forgets to come back and thank the Lord. Let those things that God's doing in your life bring glory and honor to him. Everything Jesus did was about glorifying his Father in heaven. And if he wants to heal you, it's so that his Father in heaven can be glorified. That's the beauty that we have. The results of every healing should be to glorify God. After 18 years of pain and suffering, imagine what the others around her who knew her must have thought. And how that must have challenged their minds and their thoughts about God. Maybe they looked at her for all those years and said, man, she believes in God. Look at the condition she's in. Think about that, right? What kind of God does she serve? And then after finally being able to see that, great testimony. There are many here tonight that may not have physical infirmities. There's many in here tonight that may not be bent over in half, but there's things in your life that God wants to straighten out. God wants to straighten out certain areas of your life. Only you and he know them. Only you and him know those things that he's speaking to you tonight to say, I got to get this in order. I got to straighten this up. One of my favorite scriptures is that God will make every crooked road straight. And I want him to make my crooked life straight too. So that people will look at me and say, I know who did that. Jesus did that. Jesus can straighten up your room. Jesus can straighten up our lives. What a beautiful thing it is. Unfortunately, we got to read verse 14. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. We know the reason. And notice what he does. He doesn't speak to Jesus, does he? It says in the middle of verse 14, and he said to the crowd, he didn't have enough gumption to speak directly to the Lord, which is probably not a bad idea. But he speaks to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them. This scripture shows me that he believes in healing, right? He believes in the healing power of God. But I can't help but think that he was a little bit jealous that maybe he didn't have the power to heal. Or maybe he'd never been healed in his life. And he says, there are 6 days men should work. Like it took a lot of work for Jesus to do this. Again, the same idea of God. Nothing's hard for him. This was not a labor for the Lord. It was more of a labor of love. As he saw the condition of this woman. I mean, what did he have to do? Speak it. Touch her. It's not work. And when we do the things of God, if we look at ourselves in that picture, if we put ourselves in that position and say, is it really that much to work for God? Is it really that hard? If it's hard, you're doing too much. You get me? If it's a struggle, if it's difficult, if it's a real labor for you, you're operating in flesh more than you are in the spirit. His yoke is easy. His burden is what? Light. So if you're feeling weighed down, if you're feeling overworked, got to take a break, hey, everybody needs breaks. But if you need a break by serving God or being a Christian, you're doing it too much in your own strength. You know? Even physically, you can overexercise, can't you? To the point where your body just gives out. Spiritually, it's the same. Unless you're operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Unless you're operating in the power of the Spirit. The Spirit has all power. Operate in those gifts. Operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. You'll never have to work. All you got to do is be the vessel that God uses through you, and you're going, this is easy. Seeing people get healed. I think of the early disciples. They just got to go out and do the things that God wanted them to do. It wasn't hard for them. It shouldn't be hard for us. In chapter 8 of Luke, we talked about another ruler of a synagogue who came to Jesus because his daughter was dying. You may remember. Remember, he came to Jesus and says, my daughter is dying. Come and heal her. Come and heal her from her sickness. And this particular ruler of the synagogue begged Jesus to come and heal his daughter. And as they were on the way to his house, someone came, remember? Someone came to the ruler and said, look, don't bother the teacher. She's already dead. And Jesus turns to her and turns to him and says, do not be afraid, only believe and she will be made well. So we do believe, obviously we see here that the rulers of the synagogue had faith in God, the power of God. This particular one in our story was a little warped. And I definitely believe Jesus did this to teach them that you've got this whole Sabbath thing backwards. It's not a don't work thing, it's a set that time aside for God thing. Let that be a time where you don't do everything you normally do and just spend that time thinking about God. It's okay to turn a light switch on. I just am amazed in Israel that they have Sabbath elevators that you don't push the buttons. You walk in and you wait for the door to close and it stops at every floor. God forbid you're on the top floor. I mean, it's like, oh, I forgot my wallet. Forget it. I'm not doing that again. Right? Because pushing a button would light a light, which would start a fire, and that's considered work. I mean, God's going, that's not what I meant. That's not the idea. You're missing the point. Just focus on me, not on the stuff you're doing, not on the work. But we do that, don't we? I think we can do that even the days we live. We may not set a day aside or anything like that, but we kind of get into our Christianity thing, and we miss the heart behind what God wants to do in us and through us. And so we all got to look at this ruler of the synagogue and say, I don't want to have that kind of heart. I don't want to have the kind of heart. Someone's in a great need. I can't do that today. Or God can't do that to you today. No, 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 no. And it's not a labor. Look at what Jesus says in verse 15. He says, and the Lord answered him and said, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? They had decided that, hey, we need to be considerate of our animals. Okay, it's a Sabbath day, we're not supposed to work, but what about these poor animals? I mean, they're thirsty. So we're going to allow us to loose our oxes and our donkeys, let them have a drink, because we don't want the poor donkeys and the oxes to suffer. But this woman who's been bent over for 18 years, you got to wait till tomorrow. Do you see it? The difference? Also, interestingly enough, the ox and the donkey were personal possessions for the Jews. So it was always about their things. We're going to take care of our stuff, but somebody else, you got to wait. Oh, let us never be like that. Let us never have that heart. I mean, makes me think about somebody wanting me to do some marriage counseling with them. We're trying to find a time to do it. And it's like, oh, I hate to say, well, can we do it next week? I mean, I just feel like now's the time. This is the time. And to make ourselves available to do those things. And to be mindful that, sure, we all have schedules and we got to be good stewards of our time and do the things that we're responsible to do. But also, let's not hinder it so much that we're not able to minister to people. Jesus calls them hypocrites. A hypocrite is one who says one thing but does another. That's a hypocrite. You're going to take care of your donkey, but you're not going to help another human being. That's not the heart. The heart is always to serve. Where was this man's passion for people? Where was his compassion for people? How can anyone look at the condition of this woman and not want to help her? Guys, sometimes I think we can drive by homeless people and say, I just don't have the time, or, oh, there's one of those again. You know, it's like, always ask the Lord. I know there's people out there that are abusive with it. But please, let the Spirit speak to you. If God tells you to help, if God tells you to pull over and just have a conversation with them. I mean, they have the signs, you know, I'm hungry, we'll work for food. But it says, God bless you on the bottom of the sign. Well, that's an open door to me to talk about God. You want God to bless you? Well, let's talk about that. Let's see, do you go to church? Oh, no, bunch of hypocrites in church. God bless you. Where are you going? Too many times I hear that when I'm asking people that want the church to pay their water bill, them to say, well, I don't go to church full of hypocrites. Really? But you want us to pay your water bill. Again. It's like, come on. So find those opportunities. Be Spirit-led in those opportunities to help people in righteousness. Hey, there's nothing wrong with helping somebody with a little food. Take them to get some food or whatever. But talk about the Lord. The easy thing is just to give them a $20 bill and pull off. The tougher thing is, I'm going to spend some time with you. Now be wise. You know, if God tells you to throw them in the car and take them to the McDonald's and get them a sandwich, then that's what you do. But be careful. But be Spirit-led. That's the important thing. Basically, this guy is saying there is not a time or a place for healing. Or there is a time and place for healing. Set it aside. 6 days. Those are the times you're to come. But not on the Sabbath. Not the time when we're supposed to be devoting it to God. Not the time when we're supposed to be focusing in on the Lord. Well, seems like God would want to do that. Wouldn't you think that would be God's heart? To heal you? On any day. And again, if I start telling God when to do things, I need to get my bell rung. It's like, Lord, this is when you're going to do it. No, I'm going to do it when I'm ready to do it. Nothing's too hard for God. Oh, this is good. The word of God is so powerful, and Jesus spoke the word, and this woman was healed, right? Spoke the word. Jesus spoke many of his healings by using just his words. And Jesus, when he healed the blind, didn't he do it always in a different way? Think about that. I'm always like to remember. Again, I think he did it so that we wouldn't have spit in mud healing services and stuff like that. Right? Well, that's how Jesus always did it. Then that must be how he did it. No, sometimes he'd say, you're blind, you're now healed. He'd speak it. Other times he would put their hands on them and they'd be healed. Other times he would spit in the mud and do it. It's like, oh, this will be fun. Let's see him do this. Right? Oh, speak the word, Lord. Show us what it is. Verse 16. Jesus continues, so you're going to water your ox and your donkey. In verse 16, he says, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound. And I love what Luke says here. Think of it. Take a minute and think of it. For 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. For 18 years, that's enough. More than enough. And some of us in this room have been going through things for years, haven't we? We've been dealing with things and we're thinking, God, is it enough already? Begin to think of it. Show us, Lord. Why do we have to go on like this? Satan had bound her. Are there areas in your life you feel bound up? Think about it. Are there areas in your life where you're, maybe it's physical, but maybe it's spiritual. Maybe it's a thought. Maybe it's tradition. Maybe it's the way you think things should be and they not should be. Maybe you've even lost hope in these areas. Tonight, I want you to be reminded that Jesus is always at work, no matter how long you have been in that condition, even if it's 18 years. Love to know how old this woman was. We have no idea. No doubt, this woman, after 18 years, had long given up on being healed. Right? Long had given up. Well, that's the way I'll be the rest of my life. There's no light at the end of this tunnel. There's nobody that can help me for 18 years. Maybe for 18 years she's going around trying to find somebody to help her. Is anybody here tonight giving up hope? Has there been a promise God shared with you years ago and you've given up hope? Oh, that's not going to come to pass. No, that's not faith. That's not believing God can do whatever he wants to do. It's time to remember and remember those promises. Think about how much this woman wasn't able to do, was not able to do, that we just take for granted throughout life. I mean, just in that capacity, the way the enemy beat her down. And God wanted to heal her. She probably had no real true rest. I mean, how do you rest? You can't lay flat. I don't know about you, when I get home late at night and I get in my bed, it's like, oh, that feels good, doesn't it? Right? We lay down. Oh, she probably never had that experience. To be able to lay there flat, just weightless. Always in that condition. Always in that place. Oh, she couldn't really truly be happy in her condition. Why must people have to wait to be healed? Don't ever let that be a situation in your life. Not man's rules, God's rules. Why wait? Verse 17, and when he had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. I think it's great that all his adversaries were put to shame. Their hearts sunk. As he began to say, yeah, you care. I do care more about my donkey than I do about my neighbor. That's got to bring some shame. Those that were against him doing these things. That had to bring that conviction. God's word brings healing and life to so many. And the word equally brings shame and rebuke to others, doesn't it? The very same scripture that will encourage you will make others feel bad, feel sorrow. Or maybe even anger. It's amazing the power that's in the Word of God. All the multitudes rejoiced at all the glorious things Jesus did. Think about the things that Jesus probably did that we don't even have recorded here. Did you see the look on his face? Some people would say. Did you see how he put his hand on her? Did you see all the wonderful, compassionate things that Jesus did? They were marveling, they were rejoicing. Wow, what a great God. What a gracious God. Is God's hand on your back tonight? Is he there with you every step of the way in your life? Or is he only called in when things get a little deep? You know, when you feel like you're waist deep in the mud. Oh, Jesus, come on. No, no, no. Let his hand stay upon your life. Let his hand remain upon your life and make sure you glorify him. Nothing that Jesus does not bring glory to the Father. We see it as well here. The multitude rejoiced over all the glorious things that were done by him. Everything Jesus did, again, brought glory to the Father. This woman was healed, and she glorified the Father. Let me ask you. You were saved by the grace of God, and does your life glorify the Father? That was a mighty work of Jesus in your life, to heal you, to save you from your sin, and to save us and heal us from death. Now, does your life glorify him? Every aspect of it. Your character, the way you deal with people. I mean, maybe some of you in here are cashiers and you deal with different people all the time. You've got an opportunity to minister the love of God by just being gracious. You know, when I check out at certain places, I mean, the misery and the pain that I see on people's lives. Why? They're coming in contact with a lot of miserable people, especially around Christmas time. Avoid Cool Springs Boulevard during Christmas. I do at all costs. It's like, but it also is a bunch of people that need to know the power of God and the glory of God. I want you to ask God to give you his eyes. Just like Jesus saw this woman, God, give us eyes to see. See the hurting. See those that are bent over by sin. So see those that are in bondage of the enemy and say, you know what, I'm going to invest in this person's life. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's somebody you deal with on a regular basis. You need to just sit down and go, Jesus wants to heal you from this. I mean, I've talked to some of you. I know there's people in your life that are just miserable, mean people. They're in bondage by the enemy. That's that spirit of infirmity upon their life. They have no hope. They have no confidence, no joy, no happiness in their life. Guess what? Only through Jesus can they be made happy. See the real needs in your world around you. Be like this woman and worship God. Everything that you do, worship God. Song, action, compassion. No matter what is trying to stop you or hinder you from doing it, make sure you worship God. And then lastly, realize the power of Christ and His Word. He wants to heal you. That's something He wants to do. He wants to strengthen you and straighten out your life. Question is, will you let Him? Remember, this woman didn't ask for it. He just wanted to give it. And I'm sure there's some people in here that Jesus just wants to give it to you. You just got to receive it. You got to allow Him to do it.